WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday, December 9th. Is it Wednesday already? That's right. Happy hump day, ladies and gents. We are so glad that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We've got a steaming hot show in store for all of you, as later on, we will recap the biggest high school boys basketball game from last night's opening night of boys high school hoops. East Lansing taking on DeWitt at the respective confines of East Lansing High School. It was a fun one, folks. I actually got a chance to rock the mic for the team, 92.1 FM, alongside Eric Doc Love. A pretty close game up until the fourth quarter, where the Trojans just really ran off with it. You get to hear from head coach Ron Marlin of the DeWitt basketball team, also Steve Finnemore of the East Lansing basketball team, and East Lansing players Caleb Hoekstra and Brandon Johns. Interesting atmosphere is Tom Izzo, head coach of the MSU men's basketball team. He sat front row and got his popcorn ready to check out the really impeccable Brandon Johns. He is only a sophomore. He is 6'8", muscular. I mean, this kid is a phenom, all right? So we'll recap that game from last night. We will also talk about MSU football quarterback Connor Cook winning the Unitas Award. Also, who will win the Heisman this weekend? And also, Ronda Rousey trying to pick herself up and move on from that loss to Holly Holm. All of that and so much more. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this December 9th. All right, yesterday, folks, Connor Cook, he won the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award for the nation's best quarterback. The award is given to seniors or fourth-year juniors who are on track to graduate. Character, citizenship, academics, and leadership are taken into account in the voting. Cook will receive the award Friday in Baltimore. Pretty cool stuff. We'll have more on that story in just a sec. MSU, that's right, the MSU men's basketball team is now the number one team in college hoops and plays host to Maryland Eastern Shore tonight. MSU is flawless at 9-0 currently, their best start since the 2000 season, while Maryland Eastern Shore is 1-7 with six double-digit losses. And hey, folks, we are giving away two tickets, that's right, a pair of tickets to one individual here on our airwaves. You will have to earn those tickets, though, and answer one of our coveted trivia questions, which we will be broadcasting over the air in just a sec. So make sure you get those phones ready, all right? All right, moving on now. The East Lansing boys basketball team, they topped DeWitt last night. Night one of boys high school hoops here in the great state of Michigan. The final score of the Trojan win over the Panthers was 60-45. Junior Caleb Hoekstra, he was hot. He had 16 points for EL before fouling out. 2018 MSU prospect Brandon Johns, he added 21 points for EL. The Spartans, they dropped six spots to number 25 in the latest AP poll in women's college basketball after going 1-1 in last week's games. Tonight, the Spartans travel to North Carolina to play the Davidson Wildcats. Michigan State looks to improve to 6-2 with a win, and Davidson holds a record of 5-3. The Spartans beat Davidson in their lone matchup in 2003, 74-68, the final of that one. Number 19, SMU. They topped the Michigan men's basketball team last night in Dallas, 82-58, the final there. Michigan's Caris LeVert missed his first 11 shots, his first 11, and finished with only 5 points. Michigan was also without Derek Walton due to injury.
Harassed, here comes Moore. Lightning quick on the bounce feed for Frazier. Won't go, but oh, who's on the iron again? Jordan Tolbert again, six dunks.
Going to connect.
Oh, for 11. Tolbert with another slam. Boy, this is becoming a bit ridiculous how easy it is for him, huh?
Yeah, that was a beatdown last night. All right, moving on, the Detroit Red Wings. They lost another close one to the Capitals last night in Washington. Henrik Zetterberg and Thomas Jurko both score for the Wings, while Alex Ovechkin and Justin Williams score for the Caps. TJ Oshie and Evgeny Kuznetsov, he scored in the shootout to win it for Washington.
Once again, second consecutive game for both these teams. We're going to overtime. 5 seconds left. Shot blocked and cleared, and we're going to a shootout. 50% in the shootout. Jimmy Howard, the last three seasons in the shootout, just 6-18. So really struggling. Needs a big save here for Detroit. Doesn't get it. Great move. That's off. Must score here to keep it alive. Datsyuk on Holtby. Holtby stops him. And the Washington Capitals win.
Yeah, another close loss for the Detroit Red Wings. All right, the Detroit Pistons, they return home to the Palace tonight for a matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies. The two teams have identical 12-10 records. Detroit is shooting 41.8% this year, better than only the Lakers and the 76ers. The last team to finish with a winning record and shoot under 42% for the season was the 2002-2003 Boston Celtics. And last but not least, the Detroit Tigers have their new setup man, signing right-handed reliever Mark Lowe to a 2-year, $11 million contract.
Meanwhile, Mark Lowe is taking over on the mound for Sanchez, who went 2/3 of an inning, all zeros. The ball always finds you. Going, switching from second base. Takes care of Perez, one out. Here comes a 2-2. Down, looking over the inside corner, two out, and now Alex Gordon gets to know John Hirschbeck again. Former Blue Jay hits one into left center field. There's Pillar going to get it.
Mark Lowe, he's a new Tiger. Let the show begin.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, Edo Kuje with a triumphant comeback.
Morris, but tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
Everybody was back. He just stepped right into that because the defense gave ground.
Klay Thompson hits the three.
And you're right. He's torched this team the last couple of games, and that is in his brain.
Klay Thompson three. 40-point quarter for the Dubs. Klay Thompson three. Klay with 20. Klay Thompson, what a three.
Well, if you go for a steal, as Paul George did, you come up empty-handed, and the great players make you pay for it.
Klay Thompson, another triple.
Oh, my.
Klay Thompson, 7 threes in the half. Klay Thompson again.
Oh, you want to talk about feeding the hot hand? Curry said, yeah, I got one. Oh, you know what? He's going to make his for sure.
29 in the first half. Klay Thompson, another three. That will do it. So 23-0 and 27 in a row.
Yes, game after game after game, the Golden State Warriors are knocking opponents out like it's nothing. Like, they're LL Cool J, and we're talking like the 80s, folks. I mean, it's unbelievable what this team is doing right now, and it's history. Again, 23-0? Are you kidding me? We have never seen a run like this ever in the history of the National Basketball Association by any team. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. And last night, I think, with this whole Steph Curry hoopla that we've been indulging in, throughout this incredible run for the gold and royal blue. We have forgotten about the other role players who have just been outstanding for this squad. Guys like Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, who last night put up a season-high 39 points. He actually got hurt later on in that game as he came down on a teammate's shoe. For those who have played basketball have certainly had that happen once or twice. I know I have. That's always an ugly one. Anytime you go up and you come down on a shoe and you roll that ankle. But before he went out, he left the game again, hitting 10 three-pointers with the victory. With the Warriors, winning that game last night, a 131-123. First of all, that's just a crazy score, 131-123. Not a lot of defense being played last night, folks. But the Warriors pulling out that win over the Indiana Pacers to move to 23-0. Thompson actually joined teammate Steph Curry and J.R. Smith as the only players in NBA history with multiple games with at least 10 three-pointers. That is just crazy. So the Golden State Warriors, I mean, when looking at their schedule now, I'm sure Vegas is having a lot of fun with this because, you know, the question is, when in the world are the Golden State Warriors going to lose? I mean, folks, it's pretty far-fetched to believe that the Golden State Warriors are going to go throughout this year and finish the year, 82-0? That's not going to happen. Come on now. I know we're living in dreamland right now, and with each and every win, the confidence slowly continues to build that the Warriors could possibly do something amazing. But let's be real here. The Warriors aren't going 82-0. In a fairy tale world, that maybe that can happen. But they're going to get a loss at some point in this year. And the question now is just when is that going to occur? I mean, looking at the next three games, I mean, they're going to be on the road at the Boston Celtics and then at Milwaukee to play the Bucks. You can pretty much chalk those two games up as dubs. And then they return home on December 16th, the middle of the month, to take on the Phoenix Suns. When will the Warriors lose? Because the next three games, I'm looking at, you know, I think after December 16th, we may be looking at 26-0, and then it just continues from there. Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, the man behind the glass, I want to invite him to the show. Isaac, when in the world do you think the Golden State Warriors are going to lose a game, or are you living in fairy tale land and think that this team can go 82-0?
No, I'm still waiting to see if they can go 72-10 and surpass the Bulls record, the 95-96 Bulls.
Do you think they will? Do you think they'll do that? That's pretty crazy. You
think
they will? It's becoming more real that they can't accomplish that for me because I didn't think that they could. I mean, again, what the Bulls did in the 90s, that Jordan team was so good. And to win, 10 games?
Yep.
Out of a year, 72-10, that's crazy. But with each and every game, the Warriors are making competition look like slight work every single night. They can get there, without a doubt.
Well, and what impressed me is I wrote an article about the Warriors last year when the Pelicans were playing them, a preview for this team. And last year, this team averaged a winning margin of over 10 points per game, 10.1. And that was the first time that had been accomplished since the early 2000s. Now, I mean, gosh, they're averaging close to 15 points per game beating the other opponent.
It's
that
nuts.
Is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
So if I'm the Warriors, I'm circling Christmas Day against the Cavs as a potential loss.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big one. Then a couple weeks after that, you have the Houston Rockets come into town. I think that's also a good game, a rematch of the Western Conference Finals.
I think they may blow out the Rockets, though. The Rockets
are picking it up.
But you see them last night. I'm sitting there like, what the heck? I mean, James Harden just went completely ghost in that game, and he just looked average. And I hate that Rockets team and the way they play. First of all, they should have never got rid of Kevin McHale. We went on that rant earlier when that happened, but their offense is basically, let's get the ball to James Harden. Everyone stand around and react.
Oh, it's a total ISO offense.
Right.
It's the opposite of the Golden State Warriors, where everybody's contributing, where it's like gears and cogs and everything's turning together.
And they play no defense.
Exactly. Rockets are not one of my favorite teams, but they are picking it up. Ty Lawson's a little bit better in that system.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Beverley's now healthy. We know how big of a deal that is for them. But I think also for the Golden State Warriors, circle January 30th, the Philadelphia 76ers. Oh, my gosh.
Stop
Watch
it.
Out for that one.
Can you sense the sarcasm bleeding and protruding
dripping
through your speakers right now,
exactly,
folks? But I really think, though, you brought up the December 25th game, Christmas Day. I do think that's the day that the Golden State Warriors will get their first loss of the season. I do think LeBron James is going to have some added incentive to come out and really bring it to the Golden State Warriors. That will be an automatic headline game, a rematch of last year's NBA Finals. That's going to be a fun one, though. And I think that the Forgotten Man also, I brought up guys like, you know, Klay Thompson, because Steph Curry, I mean, he's an unbelievable player. The best player in the game right now. No one is playing at the level that Steph Curry is playing right now. But I also would like to point out Andre Iguodala, because Andre Iguodala, watching this incredible run for the Warriors, he has been unbelievable, Isaac. I mean, and just a few stats to put things in perspective. He is still at the top of the list as the Warriors are scoring 118.8 points per 100 possessions when the 31-year-old vet, Andre Iguodala, is knocking down shots and is just on the floor. When Andre Iguodala is on the floor, he is making things happen. He's getting teammates involved. When he's open, he's hitting down big shots. Andre Iguodala has been a huge puzzle piece as to why this team is undefeated right now.
Well, and he's filled the role that Harrison Barnes provided as well for this team. We saw Harrison Barnes go down with injuries, and Andre Iguodala has been shooting better from three at that corner three.
Exactly.
You know, you see the drive and kick from Draymond Green creating for Andre Drummond. That is so important for this Warriors team, and they're able to do it every single day because you can't abandon anybody else off the perimeter, because you'd rather Andre Iguodala shoot a three than Klay Thompson or Steph Curry.
He's shooting 50% from those corner spots, and that's just off the charts. Off the charts. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, tonight, the MSU men's basketball team, they try to extend their record right now. Again, they are number one, the number one team in college men's basketball. They try to extend their undefeated record to 10-0 when they host Maryland Eastern Shore tonight. And guess what, folks? That's right. You know, throughout the year here on the show, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to every single home MSU men's and women's basketball game. And yes, we'll give away a pair of tickets right here live on our airwaves. But you got to earn them. We don't make it easy here on the show. We have a trivia question, and we'll have a trivia question before each and every home game to give away those tickets. That's how you win. And whoever calls in and calls in with the correct answer to that respective trivia question will win those tickets. And right now in the studio, to my right, we have one of our fantastic production assistants that work on the show day in and day out. His name is Ethan Merrill. Ethan is going to present that question, and our phone lines will be open if you want to win tickets to tonight's game. First off, Ethan, how you doing, my man? Happy hump day.
Doing good, yep. Hump day, middle of the week, can't complain. Only a couple more classes this week, and then it's on to the grind of exam week.
There you go. I don't miss that about college.
No.
Okay, so Ethan, again, you've been doing one fantastic job, and we want to you want to present the trivia question out there for folks who want to win those tickets to tonight's game.
Yeah.
What is the trivia question, my man?
All right, Al. So with the Florida Gators coming to town on Saturday and them honoring the national championship team at the Breslin Center, we wanted to kind of theme our question off that. And shout out to my fellow production assistant, Shannon Thomas, for the assist on this one.
And to stop you right there, Shannon wanted her due credit, too. When I came in and said, okay, guys, I need a trivia question to give away here live on the air. Shannon, you know, she didn't want to go on the air. She wanted to stay behind the scenes. But if she came with the trivia question, she said, you know what, Ethan? You better shout me out.
Yeah.
So we're making sure you don't get hurt when you go back behind that glass, Ethan. But go ahead. What's the question?
All right. So the question is, from the national championship team of 2000, which of the following players was not from Flint? Mateen Cleaves, Morris Peterson, Jason Richardson, or Charlie Bell? And that's going to be probably an easier one for some of you diehards, but maybe some of the younger people will have to look that one up.
Repeat it one more time, Ethan.
All right, the question is, from the national championship team of 2000, which of the following players is not from Flint? Mateen Cleaves, Morris Peterson, Jason Richardson, or Charlie Bell?
Okay. All right, there you go. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. The first caller to call in with the correct answer to that question will win tickets to tonight's MSU and Maryland Eastern Shore basketball game. Ethan, thanks so much for bringing that, okay?
No problem.
All right, ready, set, go. All right, and while you guys are calling in, we have a lot to get to on the show. Again, we just talked about the Warriors. I wanted to start the Warriors conversation. I wanted to start today's show with the Warriors conversation because it is absolutely unbelievable what we are witnessing in the world of sports. Again, this is unlike anything we have ever seen before, and it's truly remarkable. But in just a sec, we're going to get to Connor Cook, who won the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award for the nation's best quarterback. But before we do, our phone lines are going just absolutely crazy right now. I do believe we have a caller who wants to weigh in on that question. Right, Isaac? I believe it's Steve from Okemos. Is that right? Steve from Okemos is on line one. Steve, what's up, my man? Welcome to the show. Do we have... No, is Steve there? Do we got Steve? No, we don't have Steve. Okay, we don't have Steve. So, Steve, call back in. Isaac looks pretty frantic there. Our
phone lines are literally blowing up to capacity. So okay. That might be some of the problems.
Okay, well, keep me informed behind the glass, Isaac. I know we had Steve from Oakland. I know Ray is on the line as well. I know Ray just wants to chime in. So Ray, stay on the line. I'm going to get to you in just a sec. But Connor Cook, folks. Yesterday, he won the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award for the nation's best quarterback. Now, the award is given to seniors or fourth-year juniors who are on track to graduate. Again, when looking at the criteria for this award, not only do you have to be an outstanding player on the gridiron, but you also have to embody character, citizenship, academics, and leadership as well in order to receive this award. Now, Cook won the award, and he will receive that honor this Friday in Baltimore. It's going to be a really remarkable time, as Cook will go and approach the podium to receive that award. I'm really interested to hear what he will say once that moment happens. A press release was released by Michigan State Athletics yesterday, and there's the quote from Connor Cook, the statement from Connor Cook, I should say, that talked about him winning that award. He says, quote, "I'm very honored and thankful for receiving the prestigious award. I couldn't be happier, but really, it's a whole team effort. The credit really goes to our entire offense. We have great receivers who get open, quality running backs who fight for yards, and a great offensive line that protects me and allows us to be successful. Everyone on the offense puts us in a situation to win games." Then he goes on to mention Johnny Unitas and what he meant to the game of football. Quote, "Johnny Unitas was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He was a championship player, and his accomplishments are absolutely incredible. To be able to go to Baltimore where he played and win an award in his name is stuff you dream about growing up. And to actually live it will be an amazing opportunity that I'm really looking forward to." So congratulations to Connor Cook. Connor Cook has, without a doubt, in many people's eyes, been looked at as one of the premier quarterbacks for the season. I mean, he's a senior. He's the winningest quarterback in Michigan State history. No one has done what Connor Cook has done while donning the green and white. Now, sure, at times, you know, for Connor Cook, and especially when looking at the later of the year, because I tell you what, three-fourths of the season, Connor Cook was accurate. He was on the money. You can make an argument that he was the best quarterback in college football. It wasn't until for me that when we saw that shoulder injury against Maryland, it wasn't until then that we saw Connor Cook, you know, able to, you know, hit a downslide. You know, the accuracy kind of went out the window for him, and he was really, you know, battling through that to try and be consistent on the gridiron. But overall, Connor Cook has been absolutely lights out, and I really think he deserves this award. Isaac, what's your thoughts on this, my man? Connor Cook has been absolutely unbelievable. It wasn't really a surprise to me that he pulled this out.
Yeah, I thought it was either definitely going to be Connor Cook or Trayvon Boykin for TCU. I thought really no surprise for Connor Cook. I think he's the first Big Ten quarterback to win it since 2010. And when you consider senior leadership and the fact that you look at Deshaun Watson, who's probably the best quarterback in the nation right now, he's only a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Connor Cook won it, again, not too surprising to me. Again, another great season for him. Important performances on the road. Very good in terms of controlling the ball, all of the intangibles necessary to make the jump to the next level. So we'll definitely see about him. But I think it's a good selection by the committee, and I think definitely the right choice.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. So, again, he is the first Big Ten quarterback to win this award since, again, 5 years from now, Wisconsin quarterback. I forget the name. I had it written down in my notes, and it's not there anymore. But Connor Cook, so deserving of this award, and he will now lead his team in the college football playoff against Alabama on New Year's Eve. How about that? And I want to. I'm pleased to announce that, hey, we just got news that Current Sports will be out in Texas to cover the Cotton Bowl game. That's right. I will be out there and putting together a feature for Current Sports TV and as well as Current Sports Radio, so you don't want to miss our coverage from out there. And also, folks, you do not want to miss tomorrow night's Current Sports TV episode, because we actually shot our entire introduction to the show out in Indianapolis, Indiana at Lucas Oil Stadium. You will get to see behind-the-scenes footage from the Spartan celebration and also exclusive one-on-one interviews as the Spartans poured out that last-minute victory. I should say the last 9-minute victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes. So don't miss that. That airs tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. And I also will be sitting down with Pawamo Westphalia head football coach Jeremy Miller. So don't miss any of that. All right. Trivia question was open. Again, we just had Ethan in studio. And again, the trivia question was, when looking at the 2000 MSU men's basketball national championship team, which one of these players were not a Flintstone? Mateen Cleaves, Jason Richardson, Morris Peterson, or Charlie Bell? Phone lines are blowing up. I do believe we have someone on the line, right, Isaac? Believe it's Steve from Okemos. No. Okay, that's the second time Steve has done. We don't have Steve, and I don't know what Shannon is saying. Shannon's trying to voice. It's absolutely, guys, I wish there were, this is when I wish we had a camera here on Current Sports Radio, because it is absolutely chaos behind the glass. We should give away tickets every single day here on the show, Ethan, because it is absolutely madness right now as Shannon Thomas and Isaac Constance, they tried to man the phones and get everything in. I don't know what you're saying. Shannon is doing some sign language, but someone's on the line, right? Someone's on the line. I don't know who it is, but call in. Again, which one of these players who are a part of the 2000?
All right, we should have Steve, Al. We should.
Finally.
We've been trying. The phones literally are overloaded. So that's why we keep having to phase through these callers. I apologize to everybody.
It's fine. So Steve is on the line. Steve, please. Is this Steve? Steve,
yep,
are you?
Yep, this
there
is
we
me.
Go. Oh, my. Steve, how are you doing, my man?
Excellent.
Okay, do you have the answer to our trivia question? Again, if you get this right, you will win a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball game at the Breslin Center. Which one of these players who were a part of the 2000 MSU men's basketball national championship team was not from Flint, Michigan? Mateen Cleaves, Jason Richardson, Morris Peterson, or Charlie Bell? Steve, what's the answer?
Jason Richardson, Saginaw.
That is the right answer, Steve. Congratulations, my man. Who are you taking to the game tonight?
My wife.
There you go. I hope you guys enjoyed, okay? Stay
Thank
on the
you.
Line. We're going to get your contact information. I'm going to give you a call after the show as you can come to our studios and pick up those tickets. Enjoy the game tonight, my man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Finally, we got Steve. Steve was adamant. What happened back there? So we had Steve, and then it cut off, and then he called back again, and it cut off again. And
so, yeah, we have to apologize to Joe, to DA, to all of the other callers who got disconnected, because we have 5 slots for our phone right there. We had Ray waiting, still is. We've got Michael from Saginaw on just to talk sports. So we've got those guys. But then we also had all these people talking, you know, the question. So we just were cycling through, and people kept getting disconnected. It's never been that hectic, never been that chaotic before. Goodness, I felt like it was Saturday night back when MSU won the Big Ten championship. Jeez.
Well, we appreciate our callers. We appreciate our listeners. So apologies to what Joe. I'm assuming that was D.A. Jones.
D.A. Jones.
Good friend of the show. D.A., thanks a lot for listening. Maybe next time, brother, we'll definitely get you on the air again.
And in fairness, Steve was the first caller we had on this question. So it all worked out in fairness, but at the same time, sorry for the disconnect.
I'm curious, who had the other than Steve, who had the correct answer?
Joe was right as well.
Okay.
And then I didn't get the response from DA before he got cut off. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's all we know for now.
All right. You know, before we hit our first break, I know we do have some people waiting still on the line. Is Mike still there and Ray?
Yes, that's right.
Well, let's go with Ray first. Ray on line one. Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I thought you were just talking about Connor Cook. What a great, deserving man. I'm going to tell you something. If he can beat Alabama, which is going to be very, very tough, and he can beat either Clemson or Oklahoma, he'll be a top five pick in the first round.
Without a doubt. And especially, you know, when it comes to NFL scouts and your draft stock, in moments like this, this can make you or break you. When the lights are on, when the pressure is on, can you perform? So if Connor Cook, if he performs and maybe gets Michigan State to the national championship game, I can definitely see him as a top 10 pick, Ray.
I can't do it, but I almost went to bed last night, but I said, you know what? The bullies are on. Let me watch the bullies get beat up, and they did. You know, I'm going to start calling them the cream puffs instead of the bullies. They can't beat anybody.
I can't
wait for you guys to play them. You beat them by 30 or 40 this year.
Folks, if you don't know what Ray is referring to, he is referring to Michigan Athletics. He does not like Michigan Athletics. But, we have no bias here on the show. But, yes, Michigan had a tough game last night, Ray. I mean, they just absolutely got just whomped on by SMU. Number 19 SMU, a very good SMU team, Ray, 82-58. But it's John Beilein. They'll get it ironed out as the season moves on, right?
Yeah, he can take one of those chocolates he stole from me and eat it. He'll feel better.
Oh,
hey, going on, you had a man call the other day, but after I talked, I listened to what he had to say about Michigan Athletics, and he was saying, we sure wish we could have a program down there like you. I said, well, you know what? I was thinking, I'm going to tell this man if they would get rid of all the yes men and the puppets they have at the top, they might start winning again. But they got to get rid of all those puppets like John Beilein and all these other guys.
Ray, come on, Ray. They're on the up and up, though. I mean, playing in the Citrus Bowl, winning football team winning 9 games this year. Jim Harbaugh has done a great job in his first year. You got to give him credit, though. And John Beilein, he's a great basketball coach.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to the Indiana-Minnesota game. They could have easily had 5 losses, too. But I give them credit. They could have lost. They could have won the game with Michigan State, too. I'll take the Michigan State victory over the 2 games they should have lost.
All right.
Any day, because that's sweet for you guys. If you could just win the national title, I keep seeing that play over and over. And I want to see it another few more months. We can rewind it for all the Michigan fans over and over.
Okay. All right. The one, the only, Ray from Indiana. Ray, thanks so much for the call,
God
man.
God bless you, buddy.
All right. That's Ray. That's Ray for you. All right. Let's go to Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, my man? What's up, man?
I'm doing well. Cooler than the other side of the pillow.
All right. Did you hear any more people going to see Creed?
I have not. A few of my buddies who have been, you know, who have went to gone and seen the movie, they text me after they saw it and absolutely loved it. But other than that, no. I mean, two of my buddies went and saw it last week, and they absolutely loved it. They were going crazy just like I was after I saw the movie. So have you seen it? Have you seen it, Mike?
Yeah, I've seen it. I seen it the first day it came out.
Great movie.
I was the first day. It is a great movie, man. It really is, man. What I was going to ask you before we talk about sports right quick, what do you think about Kendrick Lamar getting all those nominations?
He deserves it. You know, Kendrick Lamar is my favorite artist for a reason. And, you know, I just think he's pushing the envelope of where rap can go and has never gone before. I think he's an unbelievable lyricist and is really challenging the status quo of music today. And I think he deserves it. And I really hope his album, To Pimp a Butterfly, takes home that Album of the Year award. He's great. He's great, Mike.
Hopefully, how many tracks they got on there right quick before I get to
it? I don't know how many. It was a pretty – I want to say like 13, I think. I have to look that up. But it was a great, great album. Great album.
All right. I was going to tell you about Michigan State game, man. Did you really think, what's the difference between when Seattle was down at the 1-yard line with New England in the Super Bowl and Michigan State did when they was at the 1-yard line against Iowa?
Well, 2 different situations. We all know when looking at that Super Bowl game with Seattle, they should have ran the ball. They should have gave the ball to Beast Mode, and I think we would have been talking about another Seattle Seahawks championship. I mean, Michigan State, you know, the run had been working for them throughout that entire drive. That's how it was able to last, 22 plays, 9 minutes. As they were running the football, I mean, time slowly ticked off the clock. I just think it's two totally different situations. And L.J. Scott, you know, I've really and when it comes to college football, I've never really seen an effort quite like his. The determination to punch that football in with about four guys flanking on him and the last guy trying to dislodge the football before it crossed the goal line. It was really remarkable, and that's going to be a drive that will go down as one of the best in college football history, Mike.
What do you think about it? Did you think Iowa was going to be this tough, or it's just that
no.
Iowa was going
no.
to the playbook that Michigan, I assume they see both teams see each other on film, and they both offenses and defenses schemes are that similar, or it's just a little bit that Iowa was more physical, or they just,
I think I speak for the majority here. I did not think that Iowa was going to put up that big of a fight. I didn't think that Iowa was that good, seeing as though they played in the lightest of the two Big Ten conferences. And, you know, they were undefeated, though, for a reason. I think they showed that. That Iowa defense was stout. It was fantastic throughout that entire game. We saw guys, like, really the most impressive guy to me on that defense was Desmond King. How fantastic was he throughout that game, though, right? And then C.J. Beathard, we saw how in control he was as a quarterback throughout that game to start the fourth quarter. He's able to find Tavon Smith with that big 85-yard bomb. Iowa was better than advertising that game, and I'm glad that they got that Rose Bowl bid. Very well-deserving for Kirk Ferentz and that squad.
You know what? I'm going to move it along with you. I'm going to talk about Iowa and Stafford. I'm looking at Christian McCaffrey for Stafford, and you know what? I think he should win the Heisman Trophy, but he won't win it.
It's Derrick Henry's right now, Mike. It's Derrick Henry's right now, and I think probably second to that will probably be Deshaun Watson because he's been unbelievable. Well, even Baker Mayfield. You can make an argument for Baker Mayfield as well. I mean, Baker Mayfield had a game earlier this year.
Well, Mayfield's actually not a finalist.
He wasn't a finalist. That's what I'm saying. And I think he should have been, in my opinion. I think Baker Mayfield should have got invited. Yeah.
I think the guy at Navy should have been nominated for that too, man. It's something about that. You know, I know Army and Navy, they military academies and everything, but I think Reynolds, they should have nominated the quarterback at Navy for that kind of, for at least let him go to New York City, man. You know, I mean, I know the military academy is not like they talk about those schools like they talk about the big state schools and schools like that, but I thought he should have been getting some nominations,
just a ticket to New York
for some shine for the Heisman. I really do.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I just think Derrick Henry has just been he's performed when the lights have been on. And Derrick Henry, I mean, the numbers he's put up have been just eye-popping. We all know who the Heisman Trophy is going to go to. I mean, basically, the other cats are just taking the ticket and just enjoying the atmosphere. You know,
Do you think he's another Mark Ingram?
Wouldn't go that far. Different builds. Derrick Henry is a big running back. I mean, over 6 feet. I think like 6'3", something like that. I mean, he's a big kid.
Oh, yeah, 270, 260,
something like that. He's a force, man.
It reminds me more of Trent Richardson on Alabama running backs.
I can see that. Mark Ingram was small.
Remind you of Eddie Lacy a little bit?
Maybe the way he runs, yeah. I mean, he runs with a lot of power. He'll hit you with some, you know, some east-west moves, but he's mostly a north-south running back. I think he's going to be fantastic at the next level. And his frame will, I think, produce longevity because we all know about the shelf life of a running back in the NFL. You know, the average lifespan is like, 3 to 4 years. I mean, with that type of build, that type of body, he will be able to take a lot of punishment at the next level and play for a long time, I think. Knock on wood. But Derrick Henry, he's going to be a fantastic back at the next level, Mike.
All right, the next time I'm called, we're going to talk about Green Bay and Detroit and why did Detroit knock down that pass at the last play of the game.
Do we have to, Mike? Okay. All right.
Appreciate
the call. Always a fantastic one. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will recap last night's opening night for boys high school hoops. East Lansing and DeWitt was the big game. I was out there and got a chance to see prospect Brandon Johns do his thing. You'll get to hear from Johns, Steve Finnemore, Ron Marlin, Caleb Hoekstra, all of them, and so much more right here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, I want to give a congratulations to Steve from Okemos for winning a pair of men's basketball, MSU men's basketball tickets as they take on Maryland Eastern Shore tonight at the Breslin Center. And he nailed the trivia question for the day, which happened to be brought to you by our own Ethan Merrill. Out of these four players, Mateen Cleave, Jason Richardson, Morris Peterson, and Charlie Bell, which one of those players were not from Flint, Michigan that were a part of that 2000 MSU men's national championship team? And Isaac, it was complete chaos back there.
Oh, I felt like it was maybe Mardi Gras plus Michigan State being named to the college football playoff plus the Final Four plus all of that. There were just, I'm not sure if you saw, but we had a few fireworks going off. I think everybody's okay.
I hope
I'm pretty
everybody's
sure.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was chaos. So just to describe what happened, we had so many callers. We have five banks for callers back here.
Right.
And we had so many that callers would be disconnected if they weren't locked in when another caller called in. So we were fielding all of these calls, and they were just replacing one another. So,
oh my goodness,
you know, we had eight or nine when we could only field three at a time. So it was absolute chaos, to say the least.
Well, congratulations to Steve. He was the man on the quick trigger there to answer the trivia question, the first caller to answer the trivia question correctly. So congratulations to Steve. And again, we'll be doing this throughout the entire MSU men's basketball year, as well as the entire MSU women's basketball year. We have yet to give away a pair of tickets to the women's basketball team's one of their events at the Breslin Center. But stay tuned. If you haven't seen that team play, they are a joy, especially Ariel Powers, one of the best players in the nation. All right, let's talk boys high school basketball. I got the opportunity last night to head out to East Lansing High School as Steve Finnemore's Trojans took on Ron Marlin's DeWitt Panthers team. Two great teams last year when looking at both of these squads. East Lansing, they finished the year 12-9, 9-5 in conference, third in the CAAC Blue. Brandon Johns, one of the nation's top players in the 2018 class, he leads a young Trojan squad. Brandon Johns is actually only a sophomore, a 6'8". Beefy sophomore. He's unbelievable, folks. And four of East Lansing's five starters are underclassmen. Steve Finnemore, he really likes his team, and he says that his players must buy into their roles. Last year for the DeWitt Panthers, they finished the year 11-10, 8-2 in the CAAC Red. That was good for first. That's right. They won the CAAC Red title last year. Ron Marlin does a great job every single year. They have three all-league players back from last year's CAAC Red title team, and Evan Kahn, Tanner Reha, and Donovan Tarn. And the big question that Marlin once answered this year is whether or not young players can develop quickly. It was a fantastic time rocking the mic on the team, 92.1 FM, alongside high school sports commentator Eric Doc Love. And the result of that game was an East Lansing win, a 60-45 win. Caleb Hofstra, he had 16 points for EL. Again, Brandon Johns, he was fantastic, adding 21 points for East Lansing. He also added 11 rebounds and 4 blocks. Here is our coverage from that game last night. The first voice you will hear is DeWitt boys basketball coach Ron Marlin talking about what happened throughout that game and why did that game lead to a loss for the Panthers. You'll also, after him, get to hear from Caleb Hofstra, who lit it up from the three-point line for East Lansing. He is a fantastic shooter. Also, Brandon Johns, the big 2018 basketball prospect, Tom Izzo, sitting front row to you know, get his eyes on Brandon Johns, a possible MSU recruit. And also, yes, Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. Here we go.
Well, they move the ball well. They share the ball well. And, you know, Brandon Johns demands a lot of attention. And then that opens up things up for a lot of their shooters. I mean, you can't get out and defend that perimeter if you're going to leave him inside, or, you know, you got to always account for where he's at. He draws so much attention, it really makes the game easy for a lot of the other ones. And they're good players. When they get good open looks, they're going to knock them down. At halftime, you know, it was a 24-20, and they had 21 of their 24 points from threes. So we talked about that. We talked about the fact that, you know, they're going to cool off. They can't continue to shoot at that stretch. I think they only made three in the second half, so we did a decent job there. But, you know, we just didn't make shots and had a hard time scoring, and they got some runouts and some easy buckets. and it gets away quick.
Coach, at the beginning of the season, he gave me the role of my primary role of just shooting whenever I'm open, and that's what I do.
Looks like it's been working out pretty well for you.
So far, yeah.
He shoots every day, 600 shots a game, a day. In the summertime, it was 1,000 shots a day, Caleb Hoekstra. He wants to beat Travis Bader's record. He's trying to catch up to Travis Bader from Okemos. He works really hard, so we give him the green light to shoot the ball. The hard work equals, you know, freedom on the court.
I mean, it was just really gratifying for me because I've worked very hard over the past couple years to prepare for this, and it was just very gratifying to actually experience that in the game.
I see my role as a scorer, help my teammates get open, get the ball, mainly lead my team, basically.
All right, and have you seen Thomas on the crowd?
I did. It's pretty intense.
Have you decided or thought about where you're going to go to college yet?
No, I haven't. Not yet. I'm keeping my options open right now because I'm still young. So by next year, I probably have an idea. Hey, I'm trying. I gained 36 pounds since freshman year.
Yeah, I was just looking up that you kind of bulked up. Seems like you're kind of more aggressive.
Sorry, worse.
Would you agree with that? That you kind of have more of an aggressive mindset this year?
Yeah. Getting stronger really has improved my confidence in my game because I feel like I can get past people more easy. So it's helped out a lot.
Our best player, Brandon John, 6'8". He likes to, you know, go out on the three line. So we told him at halftime, let's go inside. First six plays, we went inside. So, you know, set the tone, set the pace, get it inside. Hey, I'll tell you what, man. I give my heart and soul. I cry sometimes. I give everything I got. I'm not messing this up, trust me. I had a couple of tough games last year, a couple of close losses. The coaches in the CAAC Blue picked us to finish first in the conference this year, so the target's on our back this year. We got a lot of young guys, but I love my guys, man. I love them all. I yell and scream at them, but I love them all.
There are a lot of turnovers and fouls
yeah.
in the first half.
Yeah.
What was your message during halftime to your team to make them come back out totally different dynamic and win the game?
You know what we do now? We don't talk about turnovers anymore. We don't even keep the statistic. We don't keep turnovers. We just keep assists. We don't never talk about turnovers. We just want them to play ball. So when you talk about negative, it sinks into them. So we just talk about the positive. We weren't negative at all in the locker room. So the turnovers, we don't even keep as a statistic. But it's the first game, the foul's gonna be there. The point of emphasis now is hand checking now. The minute you blow on a guy, they're gonna call a foul. DeWitt, unfortunately, they weren't even in the bonus. We had like 12, 13 fouls against us.
You were able to play every player off of your bench. How do non-conference games like this help with your player development and team dynamic?
I think they tell you where you are. You know, every game in the CAAC Blue is going to be tough from top to bottom. I like to see all the teams from the non-conference. I like to play local teams to get a nice crowd. DeWitt has a great fan support. So I think it tells you a little bit about where you are and how much work you got to do.
I came here expecting to see the Brandon John show, and that's exactly what I saw. Can you talk about his performance and how he kind of benefits the team?
Came out a little shaky, first game jitters, same thing as last year. He only scored 2 points last year, went on to average 14 points a game. He's 15 years old. He's a sophomore. He's got a lot to learn, but he's very coachable, and we love coming to practice every day to coach him.
Yes, and much thanks to current sports intern Bree Harvey, who has just been lights out for us this entire semester. She was out there with the camera conducting those interviews and providing that coverage for you all from the East Lansing win over the DeWitt Panthers. Again, night one of boys high school hoop action. Again, it was a pleasure to see Brandon Johns play. He is a phenom, and I see why Tom Izzo is licking his chops and possibly getting him as a recruit for 2018. All right, folks. Well, just 10 minutes left. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this one. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We have Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, brother?
Not too bad, Al. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, my man. What's on your mind?
Well, you were there at that game last night with East Lansing, and I keep hearing about Brandon Johns, and I hear, you know, he's 6'8", muscular kid, so I think of him as a power player, but I've talked to some other people who said they watched him in some of these summer leagues and tournament things, and they say he's got some guard skills, but he's got a good handle on him and stuff. What kind of role is he playing for East Lansing right now?
He's a guy that can do it all. He kind of reminds me, and this is really extreme for me to say this, but in a smaller, much, much smaller context, he's like East Lansing's Anthony Davis. You know, he can do it all. He has great ball handling skills. I saw multiple times while calling that game last night. I mean, he would just snag the rebound and just say, "All right, I'm bringing it up this time. I'm running the offense." And he played a little guard during that game. And then we saw him get on the block, post up. He's got great post moves. He'll get out and run on the fast break. I mean, he is like an Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant type of a player. I mean, where he really has worked on his game. And looking at, you can see the tweaks from his freshman year to his sophomore year. I mean, you heard in that respective coverage there how he gained 36 pounds, most of it muscle. I mean, when I saw him last night, I'm like, dude, what is this kid eating? What was his workout regimen like? Because I need to get on it ASAP. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, so, yeah, he's a guy that can do it all. He's got great handle. And actually, Steve Fenimore wanted Brandon Johns because Steve Fenimore felt as though Brandon Johns was lagging on the perimeter a little too much. They wanted him to get involved down low, and that's where we really start to see him really dominate and kind of pull away in that game.
Huh. That's very interesting. It could be quite amazing to see what takes place over the course of the next 2 years with that young man. Well, 3 years, because the season just started now.
Exactly, right. You got this year, you got his junior year and his senior year. This kid is fun to watch, and he's fantastic with the media. I mean, he's a media darling. He's very comfortable in front of the camera. He's a gem. He's a gem, Kirk.
All right. Well, thanks, Al.
Hey, thank you. Always a great call from my man Kurt out in Grand Ledge. But, yeah, you got to see this kid play, Isaac. He reminds me of your boy Anthony Davis. Of course, it's a high school version of Anthony Davis, all right?
But we're seeing more and more of those players just in general, these big guys who are athletic, can handle the ball, because you see a lot of guys trying to emulate Magic Johnson almost now with their size, or LeBron James, where they – literally are a one-man fast break. They get the rebound, they can lead the fast break by themselves, and they can have all these guard skills, which previously, big men, they'd just be relegated to the post, stay there, put in some work. But now they're leading the fast break. The best example right now is Ben Simmons at LSU in college basketball.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And you know something, I want to also say this as well, because chatting with Steve Fenimore and really diving to his philosophy as a high school coach, man, I really wish that back in high school, I had a high school coach that was like Steve Fenimore, because he has to be the best coach to play for. If you're a high school basketball player, I mean, he wants his team to play faster than last year. And you heard him in that bite talk about how when we come down the court, we want to get a shot up in 7 seconds or less. We want to come down the court and throw up a transition three. I mean, how fun is that? And he's always talking about how, you know, staying positive in that locker room, as you just heard. I mean, they didn't talk about anything about turnovers or anything about, you know, anything negative. I love Steve Fenimore, and I wish I really could have played for him when I was in high school. So I want to get that off my chest. With just 5 minutes left in the show, I also want to bring this up because, you know, after yesterday's radio show, I went up to my office, and I had been looking forward to this moment all day yesterday, because I tuned in the night before on ESPN as Ramona Shelburne, who is a fantastic writer for ESPN. If you have not read Ramona Shelburne, you are missing out on life. She's unbelievable. But ESPN charged her with the Ronda Rousey beat. And Ramona Shelburne was actually out in Australia covering the Ronda Rousey loss to Holly Holm. And then we all know what took place. Ronda Rousey suffered her very first loss in her professional career, capsized by, of course, a roundhouse kick to the face of Rousey. And when she was knocked out, just an incredible moment, one that no one saw coming. Ramona Shelburne got exclusive access to head to Ronda Rousey's house and sit down with Ronda in her very first interview since that loss. The article is pretty extensive. Again, it's a part of ESPNW's exclusive. It's called Rousey Says She's Down But Not Out. It's on an ESPN the magazine. And this entire interview was some of the most compelling journalism that I have ever read. You know, the way that Ramona talks about how she enters the house and Rousey has not been able to answer any texts. She's actually turned her phone off. To this day, has turned her phone off. Doesn't want to see anything on social media. Will not answer any text messages. Just her and her dog. And she described the atmosphere as she was sitting down there at Rousey's house. Just in, both, you know, in chairs sitting across from each other. And Rousey just looking like she's just depressed. Completely depressed. She could not believe that this moment had hit her. And it's so compelling because I think that when we see athletes who are at the top of their game, who are dominant, who, you know, we feel like they're invincible, which is how a lot of people looked at Ronda Rousey as the top of her sport, the face of not just MMA or UFC, but the face of fighting. Never lost. I mean, knocking out opponents in 90 seconds or less. We never thought that Ronda Rousey would encounter a moment like this. But it puts in perspective that, hey, these athletes, even though we put them on a pedestal many times and we look at them like Superwoman or Superman, they are still just human. And not to give away the article, but the article is so compelling and it paints a different picture as to who Ronda Rousey is as a person. And again, folks, no other way to describe it. The first word that came to mind when reading this article is that Ronda Rousey is just depressed right now. And you know, Shelburne even brings up, you know, how you know, the mean social media memes. Many people posting the photo of when she got, you know, the contact from, you know, the foot of home to Ronda Rousey's face, which ended everything for her and which turned Ronda Rousey's world upside down. It is an article that will have you in many different mind states and will put you on a ride of emotions. And I encourage anyone who is in love with sports and who has always had that idol that they looked up to in the world of sports, I encourage anyone to read, or everyone, I should say, to read this article because it was unbelievably compelling. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow. I'll even, you know, pull out a few of my favorite quotes from it. But it's so compelling, folks. So that's your homework. Read that article, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, all right? Thanks so much to all of you out there for listening to this edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.